Good afternoon, Packers fans. Aaron Negler here with your Packers Daily Chat, coming to you live on the Cheesehead TV social channels. Hope you had a great weekend. I know I had a phenomenal time last night with one of the best hate watches I've had in quite some time. Let's put it that way. Good to watch the Bears go down. Of course, it sucks that the Green Bay Packers didn't play this past weekend, but we did have some news, albeit not surprising news given everything that transpired throughout the week. Yes, Ed Policy, the Green Bay Packers president and CEO, has extended Matt LaFleur's contract and is working on extending the contracts of Brian Gutekunst and Russ Ball. We do not have any official announcements yet from the team organization itself, but we do know that those extensions are either done or in the works. And of course, people spent the weekend talking about how it was either a good idea or it made sense or it was a terrible idea and they're never going to win with Matt LaFleur because he's been there so long already, etc. And look, totally get it. Understand everybody's opinions. I'm of the opinion that I understand Policy leaning into continuity. Clearly, this is a team that was ready to contend this season until injury struck in the worst way at the top of their depth chart. That's not an excuse, but it is a reality. Of course, you can't look at that five-game losing streak at the end of the season and have anything but questions about Matt LaFleur and his staff and how they handled some of those games, especially games where they led, had leads, had control of the game, and let them slip away. Something that Brian Gutekunst alluded to last year in his end-of-season press conference about not being able to control the football games, especially late. That's no doubt going to be a part of the conversation here this offseason in the building, but Policy clearly banking on continuity. I do think there's something to be said for the work that Matt LaFleur has done with Jordan Love in particular, but also just the offense in general, given that they did rip the Band-Aid off after trading Aaron Rodgers and went super young with a bunch of skilled players that are growing up together. I understand wanting to keep the nucleus together, including the coach and the system that they've all been growing up in, over the course of the next 2 or 3 years. And this is a key because, of course, the headlines, the reporting around LaFleur's contract extension all references a, quote, multi-year deal. Now, we have no idea how many years have been added onto his contract. I've looked and I've asked and have yet to get any kind of confirmation there. If it's out there, please inform me because, again, I have not seen it. And I do think there's little doubt that Matt LaFleur wanted some stability, some assurances, some, you know, long-term thinking from the franchise. But I do think regardless of what this ends up looking like as far as the deal itself, I think there's a decent chance that if the Packers are unable to seal the deal, so to speak, win a championship in the next 2 or 3 years, Ed Policy may review things. He may take another look. But I understand the idea they took the big swing with the trade for Micah Parsons, and it seemed like they were on track to at least contend for a championship until Micah, Zach Tom, Devontae Wyatt, Tucker Kraft, you name it, at the top of the depth chart, all these guys go down. Okay, we'll take a couple more swings at it once those guys are back healthy and we've got the offensive staff that we know, again, with a group that has grown together and matured together, has clearly shown that they can score points. Their top 10 offense each and every year LaFleur has been in town, essentially. Now, does that wash away all the problems, all the misgivings that people have about LaFleur's approach and his coaching? No, of course not. There's going to be some drill down inside the building, without question. And it doesn't excuse or dismiss some of the problems when it comes to Brian Gutekunst. And, okay, your plan was to make this big swing for Micah Parsons, but this plan was predicated on apparently working in one simple single way on the defensive side of the ball. And once Micah went down, the lack of talent in your secondary was exposed, even when a ton of people, both in and outside the building, were sounding the alarm bells heading into the season, talking about we're going to compete with Keyshawn Nixon and Carrington Valentine and a already banged up Nate Hobbs at corner. So it's all working together. It's a symbiotic relationship. But with all those kind of misgivings and problems aside and duly noted, I understand Policy looking at this trio, and that includes Russ Ball and his ability to work the cap, work contracts, keep them cap compliant and healthy, regardless of how they want to operate. If they want to kick the can, if they want to pay as they go, Russ has shown he can do it, right? So I get wanting to keep these three together. But again, I suspect, talk to us again in 3 years, and if the Packers haven't sealed the deal and won a championship at that point, there's a decent chance there's going to be another conversation at 1265 Lombardi, starting with Ed Policy. How you all doing, folks? Good to see everybody. Everybody chiming in. Hope you all had a great weekend. Before we get going, you guys know, got to give a shout out to our friends over at ThetaCare. ThetaCare is your home team for bone, joint, and muscle care. From sprains to surgeries, they've got the playbook to keep you moving. So when pain tries to take you out of the game, trust the experts who know how to win with ThetaCare Orthopedic Care, proud sponsor of Cheesehead TV. All right, folks, what's going on? How we doing? Lots of folks chiming in already, as per usual. Thank you so much for the support. Starting with Dennis. Thanks for becoming a Care of the G Club member. Patreon member, Care of the G Club member. And we're going to have to put you on the board of Cheesehead TV. Appreciate you, Dennis. Thanks so much, man. Soder, how are you doing? Hope you had a good weekend. Ask me what the outbound years look after a home playoff loss where you had the ball with a chance to win. Soul-crushing suck might eclipse suck. Yeah, watching the Bears throw it away, i.e. Caleb Williams, throw an interception where, of course, instantly everyone's talking about how it's not his fault and the receiver slowed down and all this stuff. Man, I don't know. All I saw was a pocket with no pressure on him whatsoever and him trying to be a hero. And I don't know, even if DJ Moore flattens that route and continues to run at top speed, that Curl doesn't still make a play on the ball and pick it off. I guess we'll never know. But yes, to watch Bears fans completely deflate after that play and to watch the game go the way it did and the Bears have to go into the offseason already talking about, oh, we've just started. It's going to be a dynasty. I saw this last night. It's the start of a Bears dynasty, according to some Bears fans. Adorable. The Commanders say hello. What else we got here, folks? Mimsy, how are you? Was Matt calling plays for LA last night? Brutal. I'm glad you brought that up. It was funny to watch McVay have a, I didn't get the game plan, and I certainly didn't understand what he was doing play calling wise, but last night was a perfect example of why Matt LaFleur leans into the running game the way he does. It helps your quarterback. And also that team in, i.e. the Bears, have not been great against the run all year. And I get the Packers didn't go anywhere in the second half, i.e. mostly because of their approach and the types of runs they were calling. But, you know, people get frustrated with LaFleur when he keeps pounding his head into the wall. But one of the reasons you do that is especially in those kind of conditions and your quarterback not playing his best game, you're going to keep at least some of the pressure off of your quarterback. I mean, they kept getting behind the sticks on first down because they kept trying to throw it. Yeah, man, it was wild. It was until finally there was, I think, their second touchdown drive, which they actually ran the ball more than they threw it. It was nice to see. Nice to see him wake up at one point. Jerry, what's up, man? My friend Frank Crum had a TD for Denver. So cool. That's dope as hell, man. Oh, look at this. We're already ahead of the train. Look at this, folks. We got Dragon up in here. Policy sucks. Been on the job for a year, and we've already got Policy sucks. Packers fans never miss that train. God bless you. Entitled Town in full effect. H. Carrington, how are you, man? I'm offended that most of the people saying Green Bay is content with mediocrity aren't even old enough to have experienced the Ray Rhodes era. Man, you know, I've turned over a new leaf here in 2026. I'm done arguing with these people. Like, I get it. They can talk about, oh, they just want to be mediocre forever. And like, fine, that's your opinion. It's completely incorrect. I have wasted enough time in my life, steps on this earth, air that I've put into my lungs, trying to get words out to explain to you why that's completely incorrect. I've been spending like 20 years doing it. I'm done. Even when they were winning Super Bowls, Packers fans were talking like this. So done. Over it, Carrington. I'm totally with you, man. If that's the way you think, fine. You don't know nothing about nothing, and I ain't got time to deal with you. That's where I'm at. Steve-O, what's up? Was hoping there was a watch party last night. You know, look, God bless. I'll always be here for Packers fans, but I ain't doing no watch party for a Bears game that the Packers aren't playing in. I'll tell you that right now. And if I ever do it, like, seek out my family, because someone has clearly held somebody at gunpoint that I love and told me to do it. Joe Mailman, what's up, man? I want to believe the Packer players and coaches hated losing to the Bears as much as the Bears love beating the Packers, but I'm not sure. Thoughts? Who can say, man? I can't look into a man's soul. But I do find it interesting, you know, last night, Ben Johnson, conciliatory in his postgame stuff, talking about how he respects Sean McVay, etc., blah, blah, blah. You know, the Packers are never going to be what Ben Johnson and the Bears want to be with the Packers, you know. And look, as he himself admitted, driven by ownership. I don't doubt for a moment, you know, the fact that every Bears coach in their opening presser has name-checked either the Packers or their coach at this point for the last five, six, seven coaches. You know, Packers are always going to be on their mind in a way they just aren't in Green Bay. Green Bay is focused on titles. Just because they haven't won one doesn't mean they aren't focused on it. They're focused on trying to get back to the Super Bowl and win it. They aren't focused on trying to beat the Bears. The Bears are focused on trying to beat the Packers. That's the difference. Rob V, what's up, man? What's up with Joe Witt Jr.? Could he join the staff? Also, could they put Rich Bisaccia into the role Rob Davis had with Coach McCarthy? That last part is, I think, a really good idea. And I don't think it like would be offensive to Rich to suggest it. Is it a possibility? Yes, I would think 100%. Now, who knows if they actually go that route, but I love that idea. As far as Joe Witt Jr., I mean, I don't think he has any ties to this staff that I can recall. I know he was in Green Bay for a long time under McCarthy, but I would be surprised if that were a name that they would consider or bring in. Doesn't mean it can't happen or is impossible, but, you know, Joe came up with a very different style and a very different coaching staff. Doesn't mean his name wouldn't be mentioned or, you know, looked at, but I would suspect probably not. But again, that's just guesswork. Michael, how are you, man? Do you expect big changes with DB O-line coaching? Well, I will be waiting to see if there are any changes. We do know from various reports that Ed Policy, the Packers, in conversation with Matt LaFleur during the extension talks, have not or did not, are not, you know, demanding changes to the staff, even suggesting them. Matt, apparently, again, haven't seen concrete evidence or reporting on this, but evidently remains in charge of his staff completely. But I do think there's going to be, you know, a few moves. Now, will they be as dramatic as everyone's hoping? Probably not. But I do think each and every offseason there are guys that come and go in and out the door. I do think Butkus could be somebody that perhaps does end up getting his walking papers because they do decide that there needs to be a shakeup there. But again, that's no foregone conclusion. I wouldn't say that it's absolutely going to happen, but there's a possibility there. What else we got here, folks? Don Vito, what's going on? Bears beat us. Can't change it, but the Bears cope the past 24 hours has been fucking sweet. Oh yeah, still hashtag Team Matt LaFleur and the Packers fan base civil war. Now, there doesn't need to be civil war. You know, that's not necessary, but I hear you. I'm seeing a lot of folks talking about Halfley to the Dolphins, so I suspect that news is breaking as we chat here. So let me get out the old laptop and make sure no one's lying to me, because, you know, would you guys steer me wrong? Never once. But maybe you would. So let's make sure this is real. Before I go pontificating about the fact that I did make a video earlier today that dropped here on the YouTube channel that you can go check out, that, you know, gave a list of possible defensive coordinator replacements if Halfley were to leave the Green Bay Packers. And yeah, there it is. Dolphins are closing in on a deal to hire Jeff Halfley as their head coach. I mean, you figured that was kind of in the works once John Eric Sullivan went down to Miami. Very good possibility this was going to happen. And like I said, already out ahead of it here on Cheesehead TV. Make sure you check out the video from earlier today with my some kind of wish list, some just trying to connect dots and make sense. But congratulations to Jeff Hafley. What a trajectory, man. You know, you're head coach at Boston College, and you come to Green Bay for 2 years to coordinate a defense, and then you're a head coach in the NFL. I mean, it's not like he hasn't paid his dues. I don't want to make it sound like that, because he certainly was in the NFL for a good long time on various defensive staffs. But man, talk about making the most of your opportunity. Good shit for Jeff Hafley. And now, you know, countdown's on. Who will Matt LaFleur bring in? And for everyone who's going to ask, my dream scenario is, yes, Brian Flores comes to Green Bay, totally rocks the NFC North. I do not expect that to happen in any realistic way. But, man, let me dream. Just let me dream. Don Vito, what's going on? Bears beat us. Can't change it. Oh, I got that one. Sorry. Jeff Jones. I have the same concern today as I did week one, O-line. Completely understandable. Though I do think, if they can come out of the gate healthy, which is always a big if, I don't doubt for a moment they'll play better next year if they have a little bit more cohesion. You know, some of the issue was guys in and out of the lineup. Some of it was guys being bounced around on the offensive line. But I don't hate the idea of Jordan Morgan, Aaron Banks, insert center here, Anthony Belton and Zach Tom. You know what I mean? Now, you got to find a center. And maybe it's Sean Ryan. We'll see. I suspect he hits the market. But, you know, that four, that group there, if you can figure center out, I think you can do some really nice stuff on offense. But long way to go before we get there. Mimsy, what's up? I'm fine keeping Matt LaFleur if his contract has incentives for having three timeouts at the two-minute warning. That's probably good for 1 to 2 wins a season in his era. Amazing. Though I will say, as much as we joke about it, Corey and I both noted during watch parties this year, a lot better this year. Overall, a lot better. Now, of course, everything kind of fell apart there in the second half in Chicago in the playoffs, but overall, much better this year, both at the end of the first half and towards, you know, fourth quarter, having all your timeouts available. Much better this season. Step in the right direction. Matthew Clark, how are you, man? Always said we got to lose in 25-26 to win in 26-27. You did always say that, Matt. You've never told a lie. Artavius Johnson, what's up? Hey, Nags, do we lose like the 49ers did in that game, just hypothetically speaking? I don't know about that. I do think they would have found a way to score a touchdown or two, but I do think they probably lose in Seattle. Now, 41-6 or whatever it was, I doubt it, but. You know, you talk about the wheels coming off, you know, because of injuries. I mean, that's obviously what happened with San Francisco. You know, they had taken that thing as far as they could, but even coming into that game, let alone during it, you know, when you've lost pretty much every frontline player you've got except for McCaffrey and Purdy, I mean, yeah, you saw the result. Yeah, that's a tough assignment. I do think the Packers would have had a bit of a better showing, but that, you know, it's not anything to hang your hat on. I mean, the Seattle defense is fucking legit, and they're playing in their house. No question. It would have been tough sledding, so to speak. Dan, how are you, man? With all the head coach firings, there should be a number of coaches, coordinators available. Any wants out there? Oh, man. As I said, Brian Flores is my guy. Christian Parker, the secondary coach, or one of the secondary coaches in Philadelphia, is a guy who I think is probably a bit more realistic. Maybe a bit early for him to be a DC. I don't know what the feeling inside the building would be, but he's been in Green Bay before. He was on Pettine's staff a couple years, but he has done really good work in Philadelphia with their secondary. And from everyone I've talked to in Philly, that it sounds like he's ready to be a DC, but maybe Matt balks at the idea of a first-time defensive coordinator, which I wouldn't surprise me. Neil Flynn. I strongly urge Buffalo to hire Rich Bisaccia as their next head coach. I mean, I can't believe we don't have Packers fans out in these streets, you know, campaigning for Rich for all of these openings. Why limit it to Buffalo? Let's go. Jerry, how are you, sir? I really think we need a true center, a player who isn't cross-trained. One job, control the line of scrimmage. We need the nastiness in the trenches. That could be Jacob Monk. We'll see. I mean, I hear you, and that's what they did when they drafted Josh Myers and when they drafted Corey Linsley. That was the whole point, right? They drafted them as centers and to play center. I think there's a chance that they do that this spring in this draft. Now, from what I've been told from my friends who cover the draft, it's not a center-rich class this year, which maybe, you know, makes the ability to stick the landing there a little more difficult, but I got to think that's at least something they're looking at. Mimsy, what's up? Was that Kevin King covering Komet? Easy INT. All right. Anytime you talk about things being easy on an NFL football field, I gotta tell you, no, nothing's easy, and that wouldn't have been easy. And look, Komet made a play. They're hand fighting, they're grabbing each other, and then yes, does he use his leverage to shove the defensive player and create separation and catch the touchdown? No question about it. But man, I've seen that a million times in the NFL. You're the defensive back, you got to disengage and go make a play on the ball. I got no problem with that play. Look, I'm never, ever going to say anything nice about the Bears, but holy shit, what an insane play by Caleb Williams. I mean, the fact that that's what, at the 14-yard line, he drops back to the 40 and heaves it for a touchdown on fourth down? Absolutely nuts. When he was dropping back, you know, they did a nice job of hemming him in and not giving him an escape route out. I thought I had my hands up in the air. I stood up from my sofa, hands in the air, was like, oh, here it is. And then he heaves a prayer, and I'm like, it's over. This is the game. And then it drops down Komet's hands, and I just dropped my hands and started laughing. Because what an insane play. Absolutely insane play. Sometimes you just got to tip your cap. Eric, what's going on, man? Love and Matt LaFleur need their bienemy. DC next. You talking about an offensive coordinator and a DC? I don't know that we're quite there yet, as we don't have any kind of real indication about Matt wanting to make any kind of moves on his offensive staff. But DC is definitely next up. Sanjay, what's up? How did the linebacker group do without Campanelli this year? Who would potentially replace Quay if he is not signed? I thought they played actually pretty darn well. I know Quay kind of faded down the stretch of this season, but overall, I think this is probably, I mean, not even probably, this was definitely Isaiah McDuffie's best year as a pro, without question. I think they played pretty darn well. As far as if Quay were to leave, I got to think, you know, why am I blanking on his name? Tyron Hopper. Hopper would probably be next up, would be my guess. Now, maybe they put McDuffie in there next to Edrin Cooper, but I suspect the whole kind of way you want to work here is, you know, Tyron Hopper would be next up in the pipeline, so to speak, having been drafted in the third round. And I think McDuffie would remain, you know, in base sets when they're playing three linebackers, but we'll see. Maybe they re-sign Quay, but it's feeling less and less likely. TKM, what's up? Random Packer, Jim McMahon. No doubt about it. Phenomenal picture there after the 96 Super Bowl of him at the White House. All-timer. Absolute all-timer. I just need some sleep. What's going on, man? Choose your ultimate nightmare playoff defensive back duo, Nixon Valentine or Randall Gunter. Oh, man. God, the Randall bit makes it hard because I'm always going to defend Gunter because he had no business being the number one or even starting in an NFC championship game. And I know everyone remembers him getting roasted by Julio Jones, but man, they were down like 100 corners at that point. Like Nixon and Valentine were your preferred starters. Essentially Valentine, they tried to, you know, bench at one point, but injuries said they, you know, basically meant they couldn't. I don't know, man, that's tough. Randall Gunter probably gets the nod for nightmare, but only just slightly. I mean, at least Gunter will tackle, unlike Valentine. Soder, what's going on, man? With Halfley gone and assuming you can't get both, do you hire the best DC or a guy that can fill out the defensive staff with the best coaches? Both? Why not both? I think you can do both, would be my guess. Stanley Williams, how are you, sir? Titans DC Denard Wilson would be a good candidate. He's also from DB slash PGC coach from Ravens and Eagles. Going to be lots of possibilities. There's a couple guys on the Seahawks staff that I think could get a look as well, but you got to balance this between who's available now and maybe their guys still coaching, etc. But this is what I'll go back to, and I said this on Twitter today. I don't recall, now your mileage may vary, but I don't recall Jeff Hafley's name being mentioned once in any report, public or even behind the scenes, talking to anybody with the team, ever once hearing Jeff Hafley's name before the news broke that Matt LaFleur had hired Jeff Hafley. Just to remind everybody, sometimes, you know, not only do they come out of left field, but sometimes they just move in silence, carrying that G in silence, like Elton or Lasagna. Anything's possible. Amy Gooden, how are you? Shameless plug, order your Fuck Ben Johnson shirt from Cheesehead TV. Order mine Saturday. Oh, thank you, Amy. You know what the best part about that is all the Bears fans trying to like, oh, this is so stupid. It's like, yeah, and now you're tweeting about it and you're contacting me, but I got emails about it. It's like, what do you need, a roadmap? Ben Johnson said, fuck the Packers. So we said, fuck Ben Johnson. Like, we're just trying to talk to him in his own language. Forgive me. You know? We didn't start the conversation. He did. We're just using the language of Ben Johnson. Michael, how are you? The Bears still suck, but that throw by Williams at the end of regulation was insane. Dune is going to be a problem. He is. He most certainly is. Now, hopefully, he continues the wayward ways as far as his accuracy or lack thereof and propensity to put the ball in harm's way. But, yeah, he's a pretty special talent. And you hate that he's in Chicago. That is 100% correct. Corey Krenz, how are you? Hey, Nags. Now that Hafley is gone, for the love of God, get Flores on a plane to Green Bay right now, yelling in the Chris Farley voice. Random Packer Chuck Cecil. Man, we need some Chuck Cecil on this damn defense. You know, I'm glad you brought up Chuck Cecil because I was thinking about this morning. And I know I'm an old man, and I'm just going to rant here for a second. You know what I am so sick of? I am so sick of limiting explosive plays. Like, yo, let's not limit explosive. Let's fuck shit up. And yes, if they break a big one, fine. We'll come back. We got a top 10 offense. We'll score our own points. I am so sick of just letting it bleed out slowly, especially at the end of games. That's why I want Brian Flores. You know, Flores is going to put the pedal to the metal and he's going to fuck you up. We're limiting explosive plays. Great. You know who else limited explosive plays? Joe Barry. Man, let's go dictate. Now I know that's probably never going to happen in Green Bay as long as Micah Parsons is on the roster, because you don't need to get crazy. You don't need to send pressure. You don't need to try and like fool the quarterback. You just got to get up with four and let Micah wreck shop. But as we saw this season, what happens when you lose Micah Parsons and you aren't able to wreck shop with your pressure packages? Yeah. I'm sick of limiting explosive plays. Great. Do we hang banners for the lack of explosive plays given up? Didn't think so. All right. Like I said, I know I'm old man. That's my rant. I'm done. Mike Witt, how are you, sir? Hey, Nags, I don't know about you, but I screamed like a girl when that kick went through last night. Now I'm cheering for Devontae to get a ring. Always classy in Green Bay. Dude, I was obviously very excited when the kick went through, but the biggest thing that I, like, couldn't pick my jaw up off the floor was that catch by Devontae on the sideline there. Never mind the throw by Stafford from the far hash, which is absolutely insane, but just Devontae's ability, the toe drag swag, and then the way he pops up and points at the ref, the official, the sideline judge, and being like, you know, I got that. Like, oh, cinema. Absolute cinema. TKM, what's going on, man? Key, keeping the band together. Love you, Nags. That is what they're doing, keeping that band together. Going to write some more hits. Hopefully do a little bit better in the charts there at the end of the season. Nick, what's up, man? Makes me a sad panda. Let's fucking go Raheem. Raheem Morris is definitely a possibility. Great defensive mind, has two Super Bowl rings on two separate staffs, knows everything there is to know about the modern game, and obviously has a history with LaFleur. Certainly a possibility. Doug Hype, what's going on, man? Get care of the G-Cream Ale while you still can. I'm following your advice, sir. Excellent stuff. In fact, I remember hearing a song about that once upon a time.
Well, we carry the G wherever we may be. So creamy and cold, and from the land of the green and gold.
Carry the G Cream Ale, the official beer of Cheesehead TV. And as Doug indicates, won't be around for much longer. It is a seasonal ale. Going to be gone in a blink of an eye. So if you're in Wisconsin, get out to the store and get some, clean them off the shelves, stock yourself up for the offseason. Jeff Jones, thanks again, man. Players come, players go. Cheesehead is forever. True story. Absolutely correct, sir. TKM, thanks again. Okay, before you go, head coach Matt LaFleur contract, greater or less than $20 million a year? Ooh, I would be very surprised if he got over 20 or close to 20. I would think probably sitting around 16, 15, 16 is my guess right now. But, and that's all it is a guess. Dean, thanks for being a Care of the G Club member. Appreciate you. I don't mind that we gave up this year's first round pick. It doesn't seem like a very deep draft. Go Pack, go, Cheesehead TV family. Well, look, you do work in all seven rounds, right? The Packers have eight selections, and those selections can each turn into a very valuable player, regardless of the round they're selected in. So, look, would you prefer to have a first round pick? Of course, absolutely. But you're going to do the best you can with the picks you've got. And I do think the Packers have done a pretty damn good job of finding talent throughout the draft each and every year. So, here's hoping that this season, this draft is on par with especially the most recent drafts from Gutekunst. William, what's up, man? How far off personnel-wise are they versus Seattle? Do you mean, I suspect you mean on the defensive side of the ball? Look, it's all about controlling the line of scrimmage and especially being able to do so with four. The Packers could do it when they had Micah and Devontae Wyatt. They couldn't do it without him. It can't be as simple as, you just got to draft a bunch of defensive tackles, but you do need more talent there. Carl Brooks, Colby Wooden, even Warren Brinson, who I think had a nice rookie year. These are all fine players, good players. They're not different. They're certainly not difference makers, and they aren't physical enough to control the line of scrimmage the way that you need to with this defense. Now, that might all change this year because they're going to bring in a new defensive coordinator, and who knows what system he runs. Maybe it's a DeMarcus Covington who keeps the system, and then they are running the same stuff, and maybe that, you know, informs their approach in the offseason. But it could potentially be a completely different scheme, completely different system. So we'll have to wait and see as far as who takes over on the defensive side of the ball. Braden says, throw Sean McDermott a bag. Certainly an interesting name that's suddenly out on the market. I would be surprised if the Packers went that route, but certainly a great defensive coach, right? And I think he's been kind of sabotaged the last couple of years with what he's had to work with on that side of the ball, but an interesting name to suddenly be available, put it that way. Vin V, how are you, man? Might be asking too much, but I want a bunch of bullies on the O-line, enforcers who will defend Jordan when teams pull BS cheap shots. Yeah, man, one of the more disappointing aspects of this offensive line in 2025. There were a couple games, not just the Bears game, but a couple games where people took unnecessary or post-whistle kind of scraps at Jordan Love. Man, that never flew back in the day, ever. TJ Lang, Josh Sitton, they'd fuck people up if they did that. You know, definitely need that element back in that room. And I get the idea that you want penalties and all that, but definitely need a little bit more of that across the roster, I think. But that's just me. Simitovich, what's up? Morris, DC, McDaniels, OC, Bears will regress, go Pack, go. Simitovich has got it all figured out. Jerry, what's up, man? Morris would be real nice as DC. Very much agreed. See a bunch of Morris selections here. Steve-O, what's going on? We didn't start the fire, Billy Joel, F. Ben. I'm just trying to talk in his own language so he understands. Abdul, how are you, sir? Hey, Aaron, can you blame Goody or coaching for Banks and Hobbs? Both were good players before coming to Green Bay. Did they forget how to play football? That's an interesting question, because there are some people that tell you that Banks wasn't a good player before he came to Green Bay, but I tend to agree with you. I think he is a good player. I think he got hurt the very first day they put pads on, and he was never right again through the rest of the season. And I don't think that's an excuse. I think that's a reality. Now, he has to play better and way more consistently, regardless of, you know, he's hurt or not. You put whatever on tape between the white lines, you are judged accordingly. You know, as for Hobbs, it's unfortunate, but, you know, the book on him was that he couldn't stay on the field this year. He couldn't stay on the field. You know, I'd like to say, yeah, he's a much better player than what we saw this season, but it's impossible to say until we see him on the field with regularity in their system. Now, you know, I agree with you. I think he played some really good ball for the Raiders, and that's undoubtedly what the Packers saw and why they signed him. But again, first day in pads, after repeatedly being told to tone it down when it came to hitting his own guys, he flies out there at Radnitsky Field and takes out Marshawn Lloyd. Their first, I think it was like the first or second play of the day, a first day in pads, and he hurts himself. And he's hurt for the majority of the season. You know, at some point, you got to control what you can control. E4, what's up, man? After the first two games, I thought we'd be talking about our D the way Seattle is talking about theirs. Next season for sure. It's a good reminder that it is a long season and teams will adjust. I mean, the first kind of inkling of that was the Dallas game. Dallas really found a way of working against the Packers defense that I don't think they ever did a great job of countering when teams were able to kind of replicate it. Now, there weren't many that could, but like the first 2 weeks, they certainly took it to both the Lions and Commanders. But, you know, once you got some tape, how you're using Micah Parsons, what you like to do rotationally in your secondary, et cetera, teams are going to start to adjust. It is a long season, and that is a good reminder. Uncultured, what's up, man? When they hire Leonard for DC, can you get him on transplant? Someone said this the other day. We'll try. We'll do our best. Nick, thanks for the super sticker. Appreciate you, man. Jerry, thanks again. I'd rather see cover zero than cover six. Bring it on. And, like, look, I'm not saying you got to blitz all night. Like, this ain't Remember the Titans. But, you know, just mix it up a little bit. Yeah, dude, really mess them up. That's what I'm about. Tough Esox? What a handle. What's up? Remember, no sympathy for Bears fans. Mock them, laugh at them until they cry. Then mock them some more until they hide in shame. No mercy. LOL. That would require me to think about them a lot more than I do. You know, they certainly think about me. They have certainly found our comment section, our inbox, my comments on Twitter. But yeah, if we're not playing them, I ain't really worried about it. TKM, man, you are preaching here. First building block, do not lose at Lambeau. Brother, you are preaching to the choir here. It is unfortunate and unsettling how common L's at Lambeau have become. You cannot discount what is going to hopefully become more and more of an advantage, especially late in seasons, when the rest of the league is going to domes. Build a team that is ready to dominate in Lambeau Field. It's driving me insane, man. Braden, what's up? Goody to Nick Caserio. Need a QB? We got two. If only it was that simple. Jerry, what's going on? Let's call up Gruden. We need that anger. That ain't ever going to happen, but it's kind of fun. It's a fun idea. No question about it. All right, buddy. I got to get going. Can't thank you enough for hanging out, talking Packers each and every day, Monday through Friday, right here on the Cheesehead TV social channels. Please do me a monster favor. Hit like, hit subscribe, tell your friends, tell your family. Cheesehead TV, we are devoted to Green Bay Packers fans worldwide. Thanks a lot, everybody. Have a great night. Go Pack, go.